Amen.
Hasn't he done a lot for you?
Amen.
Say amen then. God has been good once again, and God has blessed us all to be here this morning. He has given us an opportunity to come out and serve him once again in spirit and in truth. And you know, it's just a blessing that we can be here on this day, because we never know when our days shall be up. So God has given us one more opportunity to serve him. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O lasting and O everlasting and Heavenly Father, the Father of heaven, earth, and the maker and creator of all things, we thank you this morning, Lord, because we are still here. We thank you that we can still talk about your wonderful goodness, O Lord. We thank you that we still have breath in our bodies and blood still running warm through our veins. We thank you, O Lord. This morning, Lord, we come thanking you for all of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, even from our early days down to these later days. And Father, we just thank you. We pray this morning, Father, and ask you to be with the church here this morning. Be with the leaders of this church and their families. Be with the members of this church and their families. Be with those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and their families as well. We pray for the sick and the shut in. And we pray for those who are not sick in the physical condition, but are sick in the spiritual condition as well, O Lord. We pray and ask you, Father, to continue to bless this congregation that we may stand as a light in a dark world. We pray and ask you that, and thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you sent your Son to this world because we could not afford to pay what we owed, and he came in our place. We thank you this morning, Father, for everything that you have done thus far for us and the things that you would continue to do for us if it be your will. Father, we pray for this morning for families all over the world as the world is getting it to be a bit harder to live in with the economic conditions of today. But, Father, we know that you will make a way if we but just ask. And we thank you, O Heavenly Father. And, Father, we continue to pray for those who are in the hospital, those who are raising their children, and those, Father, who have no one to call upon except you, O Lord. And that's all they really need if they would learn to call upon you. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, and thank you for everything and all things. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we continue to pray and ask that you bless those who are leaders in our world, that they may do things that are decent and in order, and that the things that we do here in the church this morning may be found decent and in order and acceptable in thy sight. These and all blessings, Father, we do ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Let us all say, amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the book of Psalms. The chapter is number 142. And verses 1 through 4, but I want you to look in particular at verse number 4. For the Bible says in verse number 4, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. So what we want to talk about this morning is winning souls to Christ. And here we are once again. We have been blessed by the God of heaven to reach almost the end of another year. It seems, especially as we get older, that we start counting our days a little closer. We start to think about the days, but we must remember to thank God that we are where we are. And remember the promises you made to yourself this time last year. I know some of you made promises to yourself last year. Do you remember promising to get to church more often? Or maybe you promised to give more at collection time. Lord knows we could use it. And maybe you promise to help others more this year. When it comes to the church and the work of the Lord, we all need to be prepared to do more in service for the Lord, including winning souls to Christ. When you think about the church, the job of winning souls to Christ is not just the preacher's job, is not just the elder's job, is not just the deacon's job. It's all of our jobs. In today's text, we see a man in distress because of the plots of his enemies against him. In the first three verses of Psalms 142, we see him crying or calling up unto the Lord. But in verse number 4, we find him seeking and speaking of human intervention. Look at the text again in verse number 4 of Psalms 142. He said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul. What he's saying there is that, let us take a moment here. What he's saying there is that no man was there for him to be a help to him. That's why he said, I looked on my right hand, because on the right hand is where you usually look for your help. On the right hand is where you count on somebody being there for you. But he said, no man cared for my soul. And sometimes I feel like that's what's going on in the churches. No man cares about nobody's soul. No man cares about anyone's soul but their own. So with that thought in mind, I want you to just think about it for a moment. On all of those promises that you made to yourself last year, did you decide you were going to help somebody find Jesus? Jesus is not lost, but did you promise yourself that you were going to speak to someone about Jesus? And then you didn't? Well, that's what he was talking about there. He said, no man cared for my soul. Now, in some versions of some Bibles, it says my life. But in the word here, it says soul in the King James Version. There are several classes of people of whom we want to look at this morning. Well, there are actually just two classes. We want to look at what the different classes, the two classes there in the care of their soul. The first class I want to look at is the fool. And a fool needs our help. The first category is the one who knows not the Lord. We can look at an example of this kind of person in Psalms chapter 14 and verse number 1. The Bible describes this person as a fool according to the word of God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, just what are the traits? Well, their traits are they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Does that sound like a fool that you might know? Or does that sound like someone, I should say, maybe even better, that you might know? There is a fool in every group of people that stand around, and all over the world there are fools. In the church house, as well as in your house, and in my house, there are fools. A fool will tell you that God doesn't exist. A fool will tell you that I don't need God. A fool will tell you that his soul is not important to him. At least that's what he indicates. Another example that we are given to know is a familiar one that most Christians know, and that can be found in chapter 12 of the parable of the rich man, in Luke chapter 12, in the parable of the rich man. For as that story unravels, and you've heard it before if you are a Christian, you've heard it many times and you've probably read it a few times. The fool is one who fails to include God in his plan. But God certainly will be in his future whether he puts him in his plans today or not. In verse number 20 of Luke chapter 12, Jesus called him a fool and let him know that though he considered himself to be rich, he was told he was not rich toward God. In the wise sayings of Solomon, in Proverbs chapter 12, around verse number 15, the Bible says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You see, you need some counsel in this life. You need a way to go. You need a way out when you get in that you don't know how to get out of. When you get into what you don't know how to get out of. This is why there are so many who need human interventions, that they may know the God that we serve. For as the text in Psalm 142 and verse number 4 says, no man cared for my soul. So I'll ask the question this morning. Have you considered the soul of someone this morning, or are you just too hung up considering your own soul? Have you considered that there are others out there, or even better, have you considered that at one time in your life you were as lost as someone else out there? And I know there are some of us don't like to hear that, because you say, I've been a Christian all my life. Yeah, but you had a life before you became a Christian. And somewhere along the line, somewhere something happened in your life that led you down a wrong path. Maybe it wasn't a serious wrong path, but there are no degrees of seriousness in the word serious. When you think about it, this is why there are so many of us today that need to be concerned about other folks' souls. But he said when he looked on his right hand, there was no man that would help him. No man, no refuge for him. No man cared for my soul. Do you know that a person who's a fool doesn't have anybody to care for his soul? Because if they did, they would explain some. They would explain a few things to him, to the fool. The second class of people that I want us to look at is the backslider. The backslider needs our help. What or whom do we consider to be a backslider? Well, it is one who has come to know God but has allowed himself to fall back into sin where he once was before becoming a Christian. Being a sinner breaks the fellowship and the bond between God and his children, according to 1 John 5 and verse number 16. If any man sees his brother sin. And now, this is important, church. Some folk have said that if you hear about a brother sinning, but the Bible says if you see a man in sin, not what you heard from somebody else saying, but not what you thought, not what you think you know, but if you see a brother in sin, we are to help him, we are to help care for his soul. And I know what some folks say, if Brother Jones came up to me and told me, Brother Smith, I saw Brother Smith doing, you know what you ought to tell Brother Jones? Go confront Brother Smith. Don't bring it to me unless you've seen it with your own eyes. We can't condemn one another unless we know for a fact that we have seen them and we caught them in the act. So the Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 16, if any man see his brother sin, we are supposed to help him by going to God in prayer on his behalf. If we want to help the backsliding brother or sister, we can help him best by asking God to bless this person as well as to forgive him. It's all about Christian brotherly love one toward another. It's all about us caring for another soul. It's all about that there's room in heaven for all of us. In the book of John, didn't Jesus say, in my Father's house there are many mansions? If it were not so, I would not have told you. In other words, there's room for all, but we all got to consider that there are others who want to get to heaven as well as us, and there are others out there who don't know they want to get to heaven, but need to be told they want to get to heaven. That's how we can care for their soul. God, in his wisdom, knows just how to handle someone, his children, and sometimes he even chastens them or disciplines them according to the book of Hebrew around chapter 12 and about verse number 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receiveth. In other words, when you see me in sin, don't you try to punish me. Pray for me because you can't punish me like God can punish me. When you think about it, church, when you consider the outcome of God's wrath on those who are living in sin, it's not for you to punish me. It's for God to punish me. The best thing you can do is try to help me get my soul saved or get my soul back to God in good standing with God. So don't try to punish me because you can't. If it is a sin unto death, God will handle it. Sometimes folk in the church have pushed themselves so far away from God that there's no hope in their returning. And when we as members don't try to help them, they become, as the psalmist says, no man cares for his soul. Now, again, I know that means his life in that particular scripture, but his soul, a soul is a life. A soul is a part of your life. And so when you consider the word soul, you got to consider that's my life. I've got to live a life later on. I've got to live more than just right here on this earth. The preacher must try to help others. And sometimes the church put it all on the preacher. Sometimes they say the preacher is the only one that we should go to. The preacher is, but you can go to a member just as well. A member can pray for you too. Sometimes the preacher's prayer might not reach the Lord. Sometimes the member's prayer will reach the Lord. Sometimes the elder's prayer may not reach the Lord. in a member's prayer may. Sometimes the deacon's prayer may not reach the Lord, may not get to the Lord, but sometimes the member's prayer can. And so there's a job for all of us as members of the body. We've got to try to help people. Sometimes when we get so far down and we feel that there's no hope in us returning, we consider just giving up. But I'll tell anyone today, don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep holding on. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. And I know around this time of the year what goes on, what people have to, they like to do a lot of giving, but have you considered the gift of love? To let someone know that I care and I love, I care for you, I love you, and I want your soul to be saved. Have you considered that? When the members try to help others and try to help them to care for their souls, for there far too many folk think that only the church leaders are supposed to care for their souls. But we all should be praying one for another according to James 5 and verse number 16. And you know, I tell you all the time, whether you pray for me or not, guess what? I'm going to be praying for you. And when I pray for you, if you ask me to and you tell me you got specific issues, I'll call you even by name. And if I call you by name and I pray and hopefully God will hear my prayer, then maybe it'll be a blessing for you. Because God is in the blessing business. And then when I look back at the text in Psalms number 142 and verse number 4, where he says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. In other words, he couldn't find anyone that stood with him. He couldn't find anyone to be there when he needed. And so many times, the folk in the church felt deserted because there is no one for them to turn to. So imagine a person who is standing outside of the circle of God, how he must feel if he knows God but can't get himself back to God. And you know, we all are running in a race, according to Hebrews. We're running a race, and sometimes we fall off the track. Don't tell me that you've never been in a sports competition and lost. Because you didn't win every competition I know that you've ever been in. So sometimes you fall off the track. That's like life. Sometimes things go very wrong in life. Sometimes they go very good in life. But somewhere along the line, you may fall off. Now, we need to be caring for someone's soul. And I'll tell you something. We need to be caring for someone's soul right now. We need to be caring for someone's soul right now because our time is short. There are several reasons why we need to be about God's business. Remember what Jesus told the people in John chapter 4 and verse number 35 where they thought they had so much time to harvest. He said, say not that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white and are ready to harvest. In other words, working to bring the good news is likened unto the gathering of a farmer's crop. This means that every church member has something they can do to help others. This means that if you've come to know Christ, we need to let others know that have not come to know Christ yet. Jesus said the fields are already ready. Today the world stands in need of Jesus, of a coming to Jesus. The world stands in need to know Jesus. And I know what a lot of folk like to say. A lot of folk like to say, well, Jesus is already in the world. But I got some news for you. Jesus is in the world, but he's not in the hearts of all men. So we need to let all men know that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus said the fields are ready, and today the world as it stands and ready and waiting for Jesus to come back. Some of us are under the false impression that we have forever to get about the work of helping others. But the verse tells us that the time is now. The time is not forever. In Psalms chapter 90, around verse number 10, the Bible speaks of the brevity of life. And you all know that the brevity of life can come at any time. And there are some folk who consider, well, I'm too young to die. Well, death does not have an age limit. Death does not have a time span on it. God puts the time span on it, and you don't know the time span. Neither do I.
Hebrews chapter 27 and verse 1 lets us know that it could end at any time. Death could come at any time. This is why it puzzles me when a few years ago I read a religious poll that was taken a few years ago, and I realized what's wrong with our folk today. According to that religious poll, 20% of them never pray. 30% never read their Bibles. 40% don't give to the church. 90% never have family devotion, and this is the cap on the bottle. 95% never speak to others regarding their soul. We need help in reaching the souls of those who don't know Jesus Christ. How can you win a soul if you never open your mouth about it? How can I tell you how great I am if I don't tell you about myself? How can I let someone know that I'm a member of the Lord's body? How can I let someone know that Jesus Christ is our Master and our Savior? As this year draws near to a close, I ask everybody here to commit to becoming a better Christian. Commit to becoming a better, more helping and loving Christian. Won't you commit to help somebody meet Jesus for the first time, or even to help someone return to Him? Be not like the statement of the psalmist when he said, "No man cared for my soul." Will you be like that person, be like the psalmist when he wrote that no man cares for his soul? Can I get someone who can understand this morning that if you don't care for someone's soul, you're not doing the work of the Lord? We need to help others that they might win Christ, that we might win souls for Christ. Now, I know what time of the year it is. I know we like to get gifts, and I like to get gifts just like everybody else. I like this time of the year like everybody else. But I've also come to realize that this is no time to pause when it comes to caring for someone's soul. For not only our own souls, but we must care about the souls of others as well. If we all decided to try to win souls for Christ, do you know there wouldn't be an empty seat in the house this morning? Or any Sunday morning, for that matter. If we come to help another man care for his soul, wouldn't it be wonderful when the song leader gets up to sing a song and he has all of those voices blending in behind him? Wouldn't that be wonderful? If when somebody stands up to pray, if somebody would just realize in their minds and in their hearts that this person is praying to the Master of all of us, wouldn't it be wonderful to know that when the preacher stands up to teach the Word of God, that it would be wonderful to know that there's somebody out there who's got an open heart to understand what the preacher is saying. And when somebody gets up and say, I've got something to say about it. I just want the church to pray for me. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody would pray a prayer that reaches God so that they could help them to understand and to know God all over again? Wouldn't it be wonderful, church? And I know we sing all of those wonderful hymns and all of those wonderful songs. We sing things like, "I'm a hard-fighting soldier. I'm on the battlefield and I'm winning souls to Christ." But yet you do nothing to win souls for Christ. You just sing it in the words of a song. You sing how great thou art, but you're not doing anything. You sing how wonderful it is to be in the service of the Lord, but you're not serving the Lord. And I'm not talking about anybody here this morning. Unless it fits you. I'm just simply saying we all need to care more about the souls of other folk. I care about my soul. I care about your soul. But most of all, I want you to understand that we all need to be out there caring for somebody else's soul. And you don't have to be appointed to a soul to care for. You just need to go out there and know that there's somebody out there that may be waiting for you to give them the Word of God. And I know some folk don't like folks when they get in a crowd and they bring up the Bible. They'll tell you in a minute, it's not the time nor the place. But the time and the place for Jesus Christ is now, then, and forevermore. If we are to win souls to Christ, we are to help. We must care for other souls. Now, we may go to church on Stony Island, but I'll tell you something. We must remember we don't live on an island. There are others out there. There are other folk out there. There are others who need to know the God we serve. They need to know and care for others. Just care that we know, that they know, that we know that God will take care of their soul. We need to pray for healing. We need to pray for better times. And I understand there are folk out there who are considering that this is the Christmas holiday and don't know how they're going to give gifts. And well, don't give one. If you can't afford it, don't give it. No sense in putting yourself head over heels in debt and then suffering the rest of the whole year because you went over your budget. We've got to be able to let folk know that God is willing and that God is able to get us through these economic times. God is willing and God is able to draw us nearer to Him if we but just let Him. God is willing and God is able to do what you can't do for yourself. And there are some folk who just don't want to trust God. They say they know Him, but they don't want to trust Him. And what do you mean, preacher, they don't want to trust Him if they know Him? Because they don't want to turn anything over to Him. How many times has someone came to you and told you, I got this problem, and I'm going to handle this problem because I know how to work this problem. I got the formula to fix this problem. But you see them 6 months later, and guess what? They still got the same problem because they haven't went to God with the situation. And when you don't allow God to help you work out plans, they sometimes don't work out. When you say to yourself that I can handle this all alone, and then I go to the Bible sometimes and I look back at some of the things that have taken place in the Bible. And I notice a lot of the things that have taken place in the Bible, they say with the help of God. Or they'll say God visited. Do you remember, for instance, the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well that Jesus met at the well? And the woman started talking to Jesus. And when she was all done, Jesus told her, the water that I'm going to give you, you'll never thirst anymore. And then do you remember when Jesus stopped by a funeral one day? A widow's son had died. Jesus stopped by the funeral on his way somewhere else. I'm trying to tell you that He always has time for you. He stopped by and He raised the dead young man from his grave. Then do you remember Lazarus? When Lazarus had been in the grave, how many days? 4 days. And somebody said, well, he stinks already. But Jesus said, I don't worry about things like that. And He raised Lazarus from the dead. You can't do it by yourself, but God can do it. Help you get it through. Help you get your plan through in action. Help you get your action of your plans through. Do you remember the rich man that I spoke of a few minutes ago? All of his plans that he had, but he didn't include God in any of his plans. This is why I tell you, you need to have God in your plan. He didn't include God in any of his plans. So he said, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry because I've got my barns full. But guess what? Jesus called him a what? A fool, because this night your life is required of thee. Now, I'm not predicting anybody's death because I don't know my own, so I can't predict yours. But all I'm saying is that you can be called at any moment. And your soul need to be at peace. And somebody might say, well, preacher, my soul is at peace. How can your soul be at peace without the Master? There is no peace without the Master. Remember, He walked on board of a ship and stood up at a raging sea, and the wind was blowing, and He said, what? Peace! Be still. Peace! You know, there's nothing like peace. I tell you this from time to time. There's nothing like peace. How many of you in your household want to have peace in your household? How many on your job want to have peace on your job? How many in church here this morning want to have peace in church? You go to God. But then some of us, we must remember that we have to remember that we must tell others And I bet there's somebody in somebody's household this morning that needs their soul taken care of. I bet there's somebody in your household that needs their soul to be looked out for. I bet there's somebody in my house that needs their soul looked out for. And it might be me. I just know that God can take care of all things that are ailing you and things that be a matter to your life. God can handle it for you. God can fix it. And do you remember that song that the lady sang just a couple of years ago? She said, "The battle is not yours, but it's the Lord." She's right. God can handle the battle. God can handle the battle if you just allow Him in your life. And then during this time of the year, as we get caught up in things, we don't want to get too caught up that we don't remember where we came from. We don't remember whose children we are. We must remember that we belong to Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, preacher, I know what time of the year it is, and I understand how things go, but sometimes you just can't help getting caught up. Well, you pray and ask God to give you patience and strength to make it through. Well, how do I learn to rely upon the Lord? Well, you can become a member of the Lord's body. How do I become a member of the Lord's body? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Oh, the water is not too cold that you can't be baptized this morning. We'll baptize you this day. And then if you've already done that many years ago, but some kind of way you went astray, you need to come back home. What better time of the year than as we draw to the close of another year than to start the new year out fresh? Now, I know there's another week in this year still. But it's never too early to start planning to get things right for the next time. And with God, you can make some plans. Commit yourself to being a better Christian. Commit yourself to being a better husband, better wife, better parent. But most of all, a better child of God, that I may care for someone else's soul, that I may help to win souls to Christ as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.